I do want to welcome you. This is the 50th time that we are gathering here as a church, the Community Church of Douglaston, at what we call our Galilean service. And we couldn't have asked for a better and a more beautiful day, so we're grateful for that. There are some chairs up here in the front. It's not like regular church. It's okay for you to sit in the front. Don't worry. But we do want to welcome all of you. And before we get started, I just want to do a few thank yous to some people. First, welcome again, Marie, who's going to lead us in worship and music today. I want to thank Easton. Easton is not mentioned in the bulletin, but he'll be doing the cameras for our live feed on Facebook. So thank you, Easton. And then Dennis and Ed and Lucas and John, thank you for bringing all the tables and the chairs and the lectern and all of that. And finally, thank you all for being here. It's also an opportunity for us where we remember those who were connected or friends to our church who passed away over the last year. And so we'll be doing that later in our service. And we are expecting some of those families here. And so if I haven't met you before we get started, hopefully we'll do so after the service. But again, thank you. There is a program available. If you don't have one, just put your hand up and there's some more for us to distribute so you can follow along in terms of our service this morning. So as we continue and get started, I'm going to invite you to join me in the call to worship. And there is a part for the leader and there's a part for the people. So please join me. Gather us in, Lord, and hear our prayers. Gather us in, Lord, and heal our spirits. Gather us in, Lord, and open our hearts to receive your word.
Open our hearts, our spirits, our souls to comprehend your word and follow you faithfully.
Amen. So grace to all of you today and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the powerful working and presence of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join us as we sing our opening hymn, which is called Gather Us In.
Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space, our fears and our dreaming. Brought here to you in the light of this day. Whole human race. Gather us in, the rich and the haughty. Gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart to meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Not in the dark of confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place, the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom, now now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, our peoples together.
Amen. Before we continue with our prayer of confession, I did also want to mention, I just wanted to thank Christy and Georgie also for the refreshments afterwards this morning. But let's listen to the call to confession, and then we will pray together as God's people as we confess our sins and our shortcomings to Him this morning. If we say that we have not sinned, we are fooling ourselves, and the truth isn't in our hearts. But if we confess our sins to God, He can always be trusted to forgive us and take our sins away. Those are the words from 1 John chapter 1. So I invite you to pray with me as we pray in unison. Lord, sometimes we are confused. We hear the bad news continually shouted on TV, radio, in the newspapers, social media. The whole world seems to be shrieking in pain. Innocent people are being destroyed by the whims of the wicked. Disease and pestilence reign supreme in too many parts of the world. We turn an indifferent ear to the cries of others, often because we are so overwhelmed by the needs and feel helpless in the face of such chaos. We close our eyes. We walk away, often crossing over to the side of self-importance and indifference because we're afraid to become involved. Our society is quick to sue and slow to heal. We succumb to those pressures and our fear. Help us, O Lord, heal our spirits as well as our bodies. Open our hearts and our eyes to see You, O Christ, that we may be empowered to service rather than apathy. Forgive us, Lord. Make us ready to truly become Your disciples. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not be afraid. God's love is reaching out to you to touch your hurt and wounds and to provide forgiveness and healing. So receive God's blessing and be assured of God's eternal love for you. Our Lord Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are like pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. As we give thanks to God today for His grace and for the forgiveness we just received, I invite you to join me in Psalm 107, an adapted reading, a responsive reading. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters.
They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep.
For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress.
He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed.
They were glad when it grew calm.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. I invite you to, wherever you are, just extend the sign of God's peace to one another. May the peace of God be with you. Our next song is called 10,000 Reasons. And as we're sitting here looking out over the beautiful bay with the water and feel the breeze, there's much to be thankful for in spite of all that's going on in the world and in our lives. So let us praise God by singing this song together. Amen. I do see some people standing in the back, just so that you know there are three chairs in the front. There's some benches here where you can sit also. So if you want to come up and make yourselves more comfortable, please feel free to do so. The scripture reading I chose for this morning is from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus. And we will be reading this very familiar story from chapter 14. But before we do that, I want to invite you to bow your heads, pray in your hearts that God would truly bless you with his word and his message today. So let us pray. Merciful God, as we are gathered here, we give you all the praise and the worship that you deserve. We feel the wind in our faces, the sun on our backs, and we see your beautiful creation all around us. And we're thankful for you. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather here as the people of God. Thank you for the forgiveness we receive. Thank you for this opportunity to give you our praise and worship through music and song. Thank you that today we'll be able to remember some of our loved ones who have passed away over the last year. But thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is alive, that it's relevant for today, that it speaks to all of us. And so my prayer, God, is that through your spirit you will open our hearts and our minds just to be able to receive what you want to tell us this morning. Speak to us now, Lord, because we are here to listen to your word. And we pray that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So let me read to you verses 19 through 31 of Exodus chapter 14. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down on the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into a panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant, Moses. This is the word of the Lord. So, you know, Moses arrives at the Red Sea with the Egyptians in hot pursuit, and he calls an emergency staff meeting. Well, he says to his trusted advisors, how are we going to get across the sea? We need a fast solution because the Egyptians are close behind us. What are we going to do? So the general of the armies says, normally, you know, I'd recommend that we build a pontoon bridge to carry us across, but there's not enough time. The Egyptians are just too close. And then the admiral of the navy says, well, normally I'd recommend that we build barges to carry us across, but in this case, time is just too short. And so Moses says, does anyone have a solution? And just then the public relations guy raises his hand. And Moses says, you? I mean, you have a solution? And so the PR man says, no, but I can promise you this, okay? If you can find a way out of this one, I can definitely get you at least 2 or 3 pages in the Old Testament. So a few years ago, Annalise, my wife and I, took up kayaking. And we bought, you know, 2 entry-level kayaks. And we've been kayaking on mostly calm and flat waters of some lakes. And so about 2 years ago when we were in the Outer Banks, I rented a sea kayak for the weekend. And I went out onto the ocean. And it was a whole different story. As I went in, I got rolled by the waves a few times, and the kayak hit me behind the head. And so if you've ever thought that I'm a little strange, I mean, now you know why, okay? But I have to say, when you go out on, you know, a little further on the ocean, those enormous swells can get you kind of nervous. I don't know if you've ever done that, because you feel small and vulnerable out there on the ocean. So I have great admiration for Maria Coffey and her husband, Dag, because they've paddled their folding kayak around the Solomon Islands, along the Ganges River, across Lake Malawi in Africa, and down the Danube. And she tells about, you know, their adventures in her book, A Boat in Our Baggage, Around the World with a Kayak. And they journeyed all around the earth in a collapsible double kayak. More recently, they circumnavigated the entire Vancouver Island, where they experienced deadly currents, wind and rain and whirlpools and enormous waves. And so, like I said, I admire them for their courage, because that takes some doing. I mean, would you really want to be traveling on the ocean in anything that is collapsible? And so here in Exodus, in our reading, we have the Israelites trying to escape the pursuing Egyptian army. Just imagine what they were feeling when they stood at the shore of the Red Sea as they were looking out over the expanse of water in front of them. And they were feeling trapped. The sea in front of them, the Egyptian army at their backs. Now, if you know anything about the nation of Israel, they weren't really a water-loving species. And so when they looked at the sea, they saw nothing but waters of chaos. They saw a place where danger lurks, where good things do not happen. And so as the Israelites found themselves facing this dilemma, it says in verse 11, they also complained to Moses. Wasn't there enough room in Egypt to bury us? Is that why you brought us out here to die in the desert? Why did you bring us out of Egypt anyway? And so their voices were dripping with sarcasm. Why did you make us leave Egypt for this? Didn't we tell you we're better off as slaves in Egypt than as corpses in the wilderness? At that moment, at the edge of the Red Sea, they felt that they had nothing. No vessel, no ship or boat, no canoe or raft, not even a collapsible kayak. So they were desperate. So what now? Well, you've been there, right? I mean, you've faced your own sea crossings. You found yourself in a place where you said, I'm not going to get out of this one. There is no solution to my problem. There's no way forward. I really have no options anymore. There's nothing I can do in this situation. I am trapped. I don't see how this is going to work out. I'm desperate. And that's the way the Israelites felt as they faced the Red Sea in front of them and the advancing Egyptian army behind them. We are trapped. There are no options. This is it. We're done. We have nothing. We should have stayed in Egypt. But they did have something. They had the power and the presence of the one Lord God. And that, as it turned out, was more than enough. So we read in verses 21 and 22 that Moses stretched his arm over the sea, and the Lord sent a strong east wind that blew all night until there was dry land where the water had been. And the sea opened up, and the Israelites walked through on dry land with a wall of water on each side. And it says the Egyptians came after them in full pursuit, every horse and chariot and driver of Pharaoh racing into the middle of the sea. And then God looked down on the Egyptian army and threw them into a panic. And he clogged the wheels of their chariots, and they were stuck in the mud. And Moses stretched his hand over the sea again, and the sea returned to its place as before. The waters returned, and not one of the Egyptians survived. And says verse 30, That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. Now, we know the story well, right? This famous story of the crossing of the Red Sea. And we give thanks that God worked so powerfully in this event to save the lives of his chosen people. But we also know that in our own lives, we can't count on a miracle to come along and get us out of a jam always. A miracle, you know, to save us when we find ourselves with a sea in front of us and an army at our backs. When we are in a seemingly impossible situation, there's no promise that the sea will open up for us, is there? That dry ground will appear, and that our enemies and opponents and pains and problems will be swallowed up in defeat behind us. No, what happens is that more often than not, we have to somehow get a boat and get in the boat and start rowing. And when we do something, when we do that, God makes a way when there seems to be no way. You see, when we face those sea crossings in our personal lives, we need to do what Moses did. We need to put our trust in the power and presence of the Lord and then get into the boat and start rowing. But listen. You will make a mistake if you try to row across the sea all by yourself. If you put too much faith in your own power, your own rowing ability, if you rely only on your own cleverness and ingenuity, because you need to be honest about your human limitations. And once you get into the boat and you start rowing, you need to be willing to hoist the sails so that you can catch a power beyond yourself. The power of the Holy Wind, the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. Because God's promise to us is very, very clear. He says in Isaiah, when you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. And those are God's words to you and to me. And he says, when you're in over your head, I will be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, when there's a sea in front of you and an army behind you chasing you down, it will not be a dead end. Because I am God. I'm your Savior. I'm the one who saves you. And so what it means is that God will be with you in all of your perilous passages. He's working to protect you and guide you and save you. The Song of Solomon tells us that God's love for us is undeniable. It says in chapter 8, verse 7, water cannot put it out. No flood can drown it. Like Paul says in Romans 8, there's nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing on land, nothing on sea, nothing in the air can separate us from God's love for us. And so listen, when you face your own sea crossings in life, you can also trust on God's power and God's presence and God's steadfast love. He can miraculously separate the water and enable you to cross on dry land. He can do a miracle, absolutely. But most of the time, He will simply be with you as you get in the boat and start rowing. He will not necessarily remove your troubles or the situation you're facing, but He will bring you through the waters of chaos and danger and challenges and see you safely to the other side. So when you face the sea crossing of high inflation rates and economic difficulties, when you face the sea crossing of a new job with unexpected challenges and responsibilities, when you face the sea crossing of a lost relationship with feelings of regret and uncertainty and self-doubt, when you encounter the sea crossing of a serious illness with sadness and fear and exhaustion and pain, when you are confronted by a sea crossing of a death in the family with shock and anger and confusion and grief, when you face the sea crossing of a new relationship with feelings of excitement and hope and anxiety, when you have to deal with the sea crossing of losing a job and income with disappointment and anger and fear for the future, through all of these and any other sea crossings that may come our way, God promises to be with us, to give us proper wind for our sails and nourishment for our spirits. And the only thing God asks of us is that we be as close to Him as He is to us, and that we trust that He's always at work for good somehow in our lives. So in the New Testament, there's another famous sea crossing. I talked about this last year. Remember the story of when Jesus and his disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee? And they were threatened by a terrible storm, and waves were swamping the boat, and the disciples were panicking. And then in Mark 4, we read, Jesus stood up and commanded the wind, be quiet. And he said to the waves, be still. And the wind died down, and there was a great calm. And then Jesus said to his disciples, why are you frightened? Do you still have no faith? And you know what? Jesus is asking that question to you and me as well, in the midst of our storms. Why are you afraid? Why do you have so little faith? And I think those are good questions for us to ponder as we face our own sea crossings. Do we have faith that God will preserve us from destruction? Do we trust that God will give us courage and deliverance and victory in the middle of our struggles? Do we live with the certainty that Jesus will give us peace and calm in the midst of our own storms in life? Do we believe that God will see us through the storm and deliver us safely to the other side? Because you see, the sea is large and our boat is small. But with God, we never sail alone. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, I know that everyone here have and will and are experiencing some storms in their lives. We all face these difficult sea crossings where we say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what the next step is. There is no hope. There is no way. There's nothing I can do. Lord, I pray that whenever we find ourselves in these storms, we will remember, first, that nothing is impossible for you. Second, that you're always with us. You may not take away the circumstance. You may not remove the challenge. You might not change anything about what is going on in our lives, but your Spirit is with us, and you promise your love and your strength in our lives. Help us to realize that, first, we never sail alone in this life. You're always with us, and your people, your family, are always with us as well. So I pray for everyone here today, for whatever struggles they are facing in their own lives, may your Spirit enable them to trust in your Son, Jesus, to see them through. We pray it in his name. Amen. I believe there is a basket somewhere for all the loaves and the fishes that will be multiplied today as we put our offerings into the basket. But you can also take out your phone or, you know, just scan the little code on the bulletin there or go to our website and make a donation online. We thank God for you. We thank God for your generosity, which enables us as Community Church of Douglaston to be generous in our ministry to others. So thank you today for your tithes and your offerings. And may God bless you for your generosity and goodness. I'm going to ask Marie to now sing this beautiful song by Anya called How Can I Keep From Singing?
My life goes on in endless song, above earth's lamentations. I hear the real, though far of him, that hails a new creation. and the strife. I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? While though the tempest loudly roars, I hear the truth, it liveth. And though the darkness round me close, songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? When tyrants tremble in their fear, and hear their death knell ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing? In prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing?
Thank you, Marie. It's beautiful. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of our gathering, our church on this day also remembers and gives thanks to God for some of our loved ones who passed away over the last year since our previous gathering. And so there are a list of names in the bulletin, but I do want to just say something short as we remember and give thanks to God. Let me just see, is Ray Williams here today? Ray? I just want to acknowledge Ray and thank you for being here, Ray. Ray lost his wife, Angelin Williams. Ray is the former counselor who practiced for many years in CCD's counseling office on the lower level. Maybe some of you saw him, but I just want to say we're sorry for your loss, Ray. Also is Cindy McCann here today? Hi, Cindy. I just want to acknowledge Cindy, and Cindy lost her husband, Jim McCann. Jim is a longtime resident, was the next door neighbor of CCD, and he always kept an eye out for our church and helped when he could. And so I just want to say to you as well, Cindy, we're sorry for your loss. I know Isabella is on Facebook with us, I believe, but Isabella is one of our choir members, and she lost her father, Jerzy, or George Granier, who lived in Poland. And so Isabella has been a longtime senior choir member, and at special occasions, her two daughters have also sung at our church. We also want to acknowledge Christine Schmidt, who's with us here in the front. And Christine and her husband, George, lost their son, Charlie Schmidt. Charlie was 38 years old. He was baptized and confirmed at CCD, and was killed in a tragic snowboarding accident. The older brother to Robert and husband of Sarah. So, Christine, thank you for being here today. We're very sorry for your loss. And finally, just a few days ago, one of our longtime members, Marion Ailes, passed away. I don't know, how old was Marion? Like 97? She was legally blind, but you would never tell that. She was just the most loving person, always willing to engage in a conversation. I remember at the Strawberry Festival at the Episcopalian Church, we were sitting around a table, and I had this 10-15 minute conversation with Marion. She told me all kinds of things, asked me all kinds of questions. And then after 15 minutes, she said, "So who are you?" So I said, "Well, I'm the pastor." She said, "You're the pastor." So she knew me, but maybe just a lapse, but told me all kinds of things. Maybe she wouldn't have told the pastor. I don't know. But so I don't know if Lloyd, her son, is he by any chance here today? But we do want to express our condolences to Lloyd and the family. So after the prayer of thanksgiving and intercession, which we will end with the Lord's Prayer in unison, which will be followed by Marie singing the Lord's Prayer, I will invite those family members who are here to join me after the benediction as we put this beautiful wreath in the water and say goodbye and say thank you to God. So let us pray together, which we will conclude with the Lord's Prayer, which is printed in your programs. Merciful God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your care. We thank you for your people, for the family of Christ, for this body that we belong to. We thank you that you provide for us, you bless us. You give so much, and we have so much to be thankful for. We give thanks for the church, for Community Church of Douglaston, for 50 years of being able to gather here at this beautiful service. Thank you for all those who are here today. I lift them up before you. I thank you for their lives. I entrust them to you and to your care. Lord, we pray for Community Church of Douglaston as we pray for your whole church. We lift up this world in which we live with so many disasters and so much turmoil. We pray for peace here in Eastern Europe, Ukraine, everywhere. We lift up those who are suffering, the innocent victims. We pray for your light to break into all places where there is darkness. We thank you for our country. We pray for unity in the midst of our diversity and differences of opinion. We pray for our leaders and ask that they will seek you and your wisdom as they make decisions. And finally, God, we just want to lift up these families who have lost loved ones this past year. I pray for the family of Jim McCann and Angeline Williams and Jersey Grenier and Charlie Schmidt and Marion Ailes, that somehow you would bring them some peace, some comfort. We thank you for those lives and for all they meant to these families. We thank you that they are now in your presence. And we pray for comfort and strength for those who remain here. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us this family prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from
our closing hymn is called Eternal Father, Strong to Save. I invite you to sing along, after which we will follow with the benediction. After the benediction, I want to ask you to allow the families of the loved ones who are here today to follow me first towards the end of the dock, and all of you are welcome to join me there as well. There's also some refreshments in the back. You're welcome to stay and enjoy each other's company. And again, thank you for being here today. We appreciate your presence. Our church loves this community, and we are very grateful to be part of this community. We are the community church of Douglaston. So please rise for the benediction. May now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit come upon you all and remain with you both now and forever. Amen.